Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Past Gas, everybody. This week, we're talking one of the most iconic brands in American hot rodding, international hot rodding as a whole. It's Moon Eyes, baby. How did this company come to be? Well, it's a little guy named Dean Moon. He had a ton of jobs growing up. He learned how to do a lot of stuff at a very young age, and he was a hustler. He was licensing his business. He was making parts that actually made your car go faster, and in the process became an icon in the car culture. I'm surprised it took us this long to cover him and Moon Eyes. Why is Moon Eyes so big in Japan these days? Well, we're gonna tell you. This is a fun one. Buckle up. Let's get started. It was the Great Depression, and after getting busted for slinging moonshine, Dean Moon's dad took the family and fled the cold winters of Minnesota for the sunshine of the Golden State. Call it manifest destiny or something else, the westward migration led young Dean to the oil fields surrounding Los Angeles, an area soon to become the heart of a new type of automobile. At the forefront of hot rodding, Dean Moon was more than a purveyor of speed. He came to be a historian, a daredevil, and an idol. He took as much pride in being the first Californian hot rodder thrown in jail for street racing as he did in building cars to chase speed records on the salt flats. But who was Dean Moon? If you don't know him by name, you likely know him when you look him in the eyes. When it comes to car culture, few symbols are as recognizable as the cartoonish peepers representing Moon speed equipment, known today as Moon Eyes. That simple decal witnessed the genesis and evolution of an entire automotive genre. With iconic products ranging from fuel blocks and foot-shaped gas pedals, Dean Moon revolutionized hot rodding. Housed in the same Santa Fe Springs, California shop since the 1950s, the legendary brand continues to push the limits of speed. But Dean Moon, a member of the greatest generation, brought hot rodding to the world, turning an American tradition into an international passion. From the original moon caps to jet-powered racers, Moon Speed Equipment has been pushing the limits of speed for more than 75 years. How did the man behind the brand transform himself from a hot-rodding outlaw to a beloved global icon? Blink and you'll miss it on this episode of Past Gas, the story of Dean Moon and the historic Moon Eyes brand.
Moon! Moonshot! I think it's funny that the greatest generation, was coming like 20 years ago, they were coming after millennials as being like self-centered and stuff.
Right.
Whereas they named themselves the greatest generation. What kind of double standard is that?
Welcome back to Past Gas, everybody. My name is Nolan Sykes.
I started my banter too early. Sorry.
Joined as always by Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Hi, guys.
And Joe Weber.
Oh, good
news.
Brought
to you by a comb. 72 pieces, professional and quality.
This container of plastic comb showed up on our podcast set. I'm not sure why they're here.
Well, I think it's pretty apropos because Dean Moon probably, did
back
one of
pocket.
These back in the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Were you ever keep a comb in your back pocket kind of guy?
No, I when I comb my hair, it turns into like dust, basically. I have the finest hair on the planet Earth. I can't even, when I shampoo it, it turns into like angel hair, not the pasta, but like.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like wisps.
Wispy hair. Thin hair. Yeah.
Bart, you use a comb? You seem like you use a comb.
I use a comb in the morning. I don't comb throughout the day though.
Yeah.
just one and done, I suppose, is enough.
Bart uses a comb. Nolan?
I haven't used a comb since 2011, I think.
I like how they feel on my head. I just don't like how my hair looks after using.
Today we're talking about moon eyes. I think, I mean, certainly growing up in the drag racing hot rod scene myself, I think pretty iconic company. I'm surprised that we haven't covered them earlier on the show.
It is surprising.
This week, our source is Moon Equipped by David Featherson. And yeah, let's just jump right into it, shall we?
Let's shall.
For Dean Moon, entrepreneurship runs in the family. He was born in New Richland, Minnesota on May 1st, 1927 to Dallas Pop Moon, the owner of the local Phillips 66 gas station. He also served as the area's tow truck driver and, in inclement weather, the doctor's chauffeur. That was all fine and dandy until the nasty bite of the Great Depression began to sink its teeth into the family's affairs. As money grew tight in the early 1930s, Pop Moon began to supplement his income by selling aptly named moonshine. As it went, one could stop by Moon's gas station and get 100 octane or 100 proof, your choice. By age 7, young Dean Moon and his older brother Buzz had become part of the Prohibition busting supply chain, giving him his first taste of operating a business.
Dude, Buzz Moon girlfriend. Is his. Oof.
Buzz Moon is one of the sickest names that's a we've cool name. Come Buzz across. Moon, and we come across a lot of crazy names in this podcast.
Despite selling cans of the good stuff to the mayor, chief of police, and the doctor, Pop Moon still managed to get caught. While records show he suffered a $75 slap on the wrist, some tales point to this incident as his inspiration for heading west to link up with relatives living in California way. In 1936, he sold the gas station and used the proceeds to buy a brand new Chevrolet. With the family loaded up, they hit the road to the Golden State. They're going to be living in Beverly Hills, baby.
Yeah, we got to strap Rama to the roof.
Here come the Clampets. Having settled near the oil fields of Santa Fe Springs, California, Pop bought an old restaurant and renamed it Moon Cafe. It's here that Dean Moon would spend his morning, nights, and weekends as a busboy and cook. But between the sizzle of the bacon and the gunshots ringing out from overexcited oilmen celebrating a fresh geyser, the young Dean watched the oil derricks bounce up and down. The mechanical motion sparked a flame inside the young man.
Erotic.
That's where it took an erotic turn. Santa Fe Springs is still very industrial. It's up by, I think, Fontana or like Diamond Bar.
Okay, yeah.
So it's very, a lot of like dusty fields and warehouses and factories and stuff. I know it because the Santa Fe Springs swap meet is there.
Oh.
Which all of my friends, when I was doing comedy, would go and bartend that. Swap meet, and they said it was insane. It was like $5 beers.
Oh yeah,
people would just get wasted, and there was like 85 kegs, and they would just be running beers all
going
day.
Down to the swap meet, getting trashed.
Yeah,
start a fight over a.
I'll give you a muffler for your head gasket. Is that a good swap?
I don't know. I think you're getting ripped off.
Yeah, muffler is worth more, right?
Yeah, certainly. At the age of 12, Moon began apprenticing at Schaefer Toolworks just across the street from the cafe. The business held a major responsibility in maintaining and repairing the pumping and drilling equipment used by the oil companies, a duty that spanned all hours of the day. The pumps don't stop, baby.
Dude, when I eat chili cheese fries, I got a duty that spans all hours of the day.
Oh, my God.
So with mornings and evenings at the cafe and days at school, Dean used his final waking hours to learn machining. These skills would lay the groundwork for a career that would ultimately transform the automotive scene in California and around the globe.
Is this kind of how little Nolan Moon would sneak into his dad's machining plant?
I never snuck into the machine shop. I was brought there and told to
work. Sit down.
Yeah, no, I just worked a lot.
Sweep.
Make me some nuts.
Yep.
Where are my bolts, Nolan?
What was my least favorite thing? There's this one. We made this one part. It was kind of like a, you know how like light switch covers are shaped?
Sure.
It was like that, but would instead have like a bunch of like LED or little like lights behind it. I think was the, it was like a faceplate.
But what I had to do was like use a big press to press in like these little like bolts onto the backside, and there'd be thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And I would just spend all day like with my iPod and just going.
That's not good for posture.
No, it wasn't. That's probably why I sit like this now. But yeah, anyway, just
did
a lot of stuff.
Did your dad pay
like
you
that.
Anything?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got paid.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Buy a PS2 game. Go, oh, I could work for 4 hours and buy a PS2 Greatest Hits for $20 down
Gex,
at the
Gex
Target.
Is $9.99.
Yeah, dude. no, I never had Nintendo. Was Gex on PlayStation? I don't think it was.
Gex might have been Sega.
Cool.
PlayStation.
So, yep. Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I think they're bringing Gex back.
Wow.
Gex is coming back.
It was originally for the 3DO.
We'll be right back after these messages.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the show.
All right. Well, okay. So Dean Moon's working at the cafe. He's going to school and he's learning how to machine stuff.
Later on, when he wasn't earning medals in swimming or wrestling at Whittier Union High, Dean could be found at the local Lincoln Mercury dealer where he worked in the machine shop and learned about fuel delivery and ignition systems.
Imagine you're buying a car and taking it to the dealership to get fixed. And they're like, hey, all right, Dean is 16. He's going to work on it. Yeah. He's going to sort you out.
But he looks 35. Probably at this point.
That's probably true. He's probably smoking a pack a day.
Yeah. He doubled down on his education and enrolled in shop class at school. That's where he met Fats Moore, one of the area's original hot rodders. He had built, when they showed the, like the average linebacker, this Super Bowl versus Super Bowl I.
Oh.
The average or defensive player this game was 6'6 and 340 pounds.
Oh my God.
That's the average.
That's crazy.
The average player in 67 or whenever the first Super Bowl was 245 pounds and 6'3.
Damn.
That's crazy. All right. So Fats Moore had built one of the first stroked flathead Fords.
Okay.
Dean saw this and became keen on learning the ways. Moore took him under his wing, giving him lessons in the art of speed.
Something I want to do is just like, and probably will not follow through on at all as I say this out loud, but is like buy something like a flathead or like a, have a K24 or just like something like an engine and just put it together and just have it and just wait for the opportune moment to put it into something.
Yeah.
Flathead is definitely on the list.
So it wouldn't be like ornamental.
No. I mean, like, you know, here at the office, we've had a couple engines just in our lobby. Like right now we have the LSX 454 that Chevy sent us when they
an RB or something, or did that?
There was an RB. Yeah. That was Job's RB was in there. And then we had a 2JZ that's in the BMW now for a while. We had the K24 as well. That's in the Civic. So I don't know. It's just like a cool thing where it's like, learn how to do something, put something together, learn it. And then, you know, either sell it later on or, you know, if the opportunity comes to put it into something, that'd be fun.
But the point is you want people to walk in the room, not even question if you're a gearhead or not.
Yeah, that's right. Don't question my credentials.
It's that's completely just decrepit.
Yeah, it's just falling apart.
Are falling on.
Like the timing chain
I thought this was a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
And the first question you ask your guest is, what's the engine code on that? They're like, I don't know. It's falling apart.
I didn't know Gallo Pizza made an engine.
Like, I think Nolan's been hitting the head.
Dean picked up his first car, an Austin Bantam, akin to a Smart 4-2 in terms of its size compared to other autos on the road those days. Despite the lack of cylinders or horsepower, this car would become instrumental for Dean, as he had to tear the engine apart multiple times to fix bent connecting rods. Frustration turned into knowledge, but it wasn't long before he was running a Ford Model A coupe instead. As World War II began to rage, teenage Dean was hard at work, putting the knowledge he'd gained at the toolworks and the dealer to use to produce fuel blocks in his shop class. He took advantage of the area's only dyno at the dealership, proving the impact of his design. All the tools at his will, he began selling them one at a time before he even graduated, marking his entry into the speed equipment industry. But upon tossing his cap in the air, he felt a higher calling and joined the Merchant Marine. He landed in Japan at war's end among the first U.S. occupying forces.
Dang. Both Dean Moon and Bruce McLaren started their wrenching careers working on Austin Bantams. Because the Austin 7 is the same, similar car, same car.
I think it's a little bit bigger.
I think they're like a license kind of deal. But yeah, working on these tiny little cars. Bruce McLaren, of course, he hill climbed his. He raced his. That's interesting.
I think the point is that when you're young, it's easy to work on a small, simple engine, mm-hmm. and a small, simple car. Kind of just like how it's easy to transition, get into motorcycles and mm-hmm. then transition from motorcycles to cars.
Yeah. Dean returned home from his tour and soon found himself spending his days back in the oil fields fixing machinery and his nights running with the Hutter's Car Club. After picking up a four-cylinder 31 Ford, he tried every trick in the book to extract every bit of power from it. Around this time, he had proper molds made of his fuel blocks that equalized pressure to the multi-carb setups commonly ran on flatheads back in the day. He'd sling them to the other guys who heard Moon had a few tricks of his own. His foray into hot rodding was only just beginning. And if you want to learn more about hot rodding in general, check out episode 245. In his pursuit of speed, he began experimenting quite successfully with other parts, such as ignitions and carburetor linkage systems. Before long, he was making a name for himself and his parts on the dry lake beds of the region, as well as out on the streets, selling his products anywhere he could. Turns out, though, he wasn't fast enough yet. During one such street race, Dean got caught by the cops and thrown in the slammer. After serving 4 days of his 7-day sentence, he jumped right back behind the wheel, boasting about being the first hot rodder sent to jail for street racing in California. And thus, the legend was born.
I like that he served, 4 days. What happened to the last three? Yeah. Were they just like, yeah, all right, get out of here.
You're pretty keen.
Get out of here,
kid. Dean?
You're keen, Dean. Hey, you ever listen to that band Ween? This guy Dean does it with his brother Gene. Anyway.
Are you listening to me? Feel seen.
By 1950, the hot rod scene was picking up steam, and so was Dean's business. This led to the first formation of Moon Automotive, which focused on parts distribution. But another international conflict would throw a wrench into Dean's plan. A draft notice from the Air Force led to Dean becoming an aerial photographer. Taking pictures is a skill he'd later apply to documenting the hot rod scene in Southern California with features in early magazines that covered the genre, such as Motor Trend and Rod and Custom. Lucky for him, he ended up being stationed in Salt Lake City, where he taught others to snap photos. The location suited him well. Turned out the Air Force had no qualms about him using his leave to spend time with his new wife, Shirley, at the Bonneville Salt Flats. Just
Shirley,
a quick 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
A 2-hour drive from Bonneville.
You know that?
Bonneville to Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 hours. Very straight road. Very boring drive.
Kind of reminiscent of the people that live there. Very straight and very boring.
There, he'd enjoy the national speed trials and find fuel for his true passion. Shirley may or may not have enjoyed it as much, but she would never leave his side.
And just to go back to Motor Trend and Rod and Custom, those are both started by Robert Peterson of the Peterson Museum.
And we did an episode on him, and it's a really good one.
It's super surprising.
Yeah. Go check that out if you haven't. Very good stuff.
Kind of like Dean Moon. Like, I knew Moon Eyes had a really cool story, but I didn't realize how instrumental he was to the scene.
I mean, that dude was a hustler, man. He would just grind him.
He's a hutter.
He had that real grind set.
Yeah, beta grind set. The original grip.
Following his second discharge, Dean's
You should see a doctor.
Dean spent a short stint at the dealership that taught him his ways. Within the year, he decided to set out on his own, leading to a new form of Moon Automotive in a shop behind his dad's cafe in Santa Fe Springs, California. There, he began to refine his parts and experiment with new ones. His fuel blocks, ignitions, and linkages all grew in popularity, but tune-up work that he tackled with his brother Buzz truly supported him. That changed with his first major seller and had nothing to do with going fast, but it looked the part. In the first month on the shelf, Dean Moon sold 200 foot-shaped gas pedals, a staple of early hot rodding that remains popular today. Word spread, but performance spoke louder, and more people caught wind of his products. Gas tanks became another success for him. While many drivers of the era used surplus war tanks, Dean was among the first to build tanks specifically for racing. His most popular model of the day came in the form of a 3.5-gallon aluminum tank with a twist-lock cap. Pressure-tested for 10 PSI, it could be had with a Moon-designed hand-operated pressure pump mounted directly on the tank or in the cabin. This resulted in consistent fuel pressure when paired with his induction system, ensuring optimal performance.
This seems like a huge innovation for the day.
He'd followed the tanks up with another iconic product, the Moon Disc. Spun aluminum wheel discs. They're wheel covers, basically.
Yeah.
While he'd seen similar stylish yet functional hubcaps on rides of the era, including Ack Miller's famous Roadster, Deem claimed his version could add up to 7 miles per hour to your run once you've already hit 190 miles an hour. The disc sold in quantities of 10,000 or more per month in the 1950s. They're still one of Moon's most popular products today and remain hand spun.
That's
cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like aluminum dishes that go over your over your wheels. They're hubcaps. They have no openings or anything like that.
It's very plain.
Very plain, but like, you know, more aerodynamic too.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the whole draw, you know, very popular on like salt flat cars. Couple drag cars run them too. I know also on like custom cars, people run them as well. They're just cool, man.
A lot of their products are like obviously very popular for this time, the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of speaks to how good their taste was, where it's like every other, you know, product from this time has gone through multiple versions of being retro and mm-hmm. being cool again. These have always remained cool.
They're badass product.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're iconic. Our buddy Dean, who has since passed
Different Dean.
He passed away a few years ago, but he's the one who let us use his... We're driving his Roadster.
Oh.
His Bonneville car.
Awesome.
He had Moon Eyes discs on his Chevy HHR.
Whoa.
Yeah. He was an old time.
That almost makes it cool.
It was really fun to see Dean roll up in that thing.
Was it the panel van version?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah, cool.
Those are rare.
Yeah. No. Red. Dude,
you seem like you would drive an HHR.
Moving on.
As the business expanded, Dean found himself in need of a bigger space. In 1956, this led him to purchase the property located at 1920 South Norwalk Boulevard, Santa Fe Springs. Upon opening his new shop, he christened the business Moon Equipment Company. And a fresh logo seemed to be the last piece of his organizational puzzle.
We'll be right back after these messages.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the show.
What started as a typewritten signature when Dean would put periods in the O's of his last name when using a typewriter would eventually evolve to become one of the most recognizable logos in hot rodding.
That's pretty cool.
You're right?
Yeah.
It's a little flair. Like, the first iteration of the Moon Eyes logo can be found on Creighton Hunter's Model T drag racer from the 1950s that featured double zeros as its number. Dean painted eyes in the zeros, and he knew he was onto something. In 1957, he contracted a Disney artist to enhance his design, birthing the official Moon Eyes logo.
Hell yeah, dude.
In the late 50s, business began to boom. Boom, boom, boom. Not just for Dean, but for his contemporaries, too. In 1958, Vic Edelbrock Sr. became the first to achieve an engine build that resulted in 1 horsepower per cubic inch, doing so with a 283 Chevy small block.
Oh, okay.
His cross-ram manifold proved to be the key ingredient of the success. His son, Vic Jr., took over business following his father's death in 1962 and grew it into one of the most recognizable names in speed.
Yeah, dude, Edelbrock.
Mm-hmm.
Have we done an episode on that?
Oh, we should.
Oh. Oh, put it on the list. Slap it on that list, Audrey.
Roy Richter is often cited as the owner of the first true speed shop, having purchased Bell Auto Parts in Bell, California in 1945. Though he offered various speed parts, his focus became safety after witnessing deaths of several friends on the tracks, as well as assault flats.
Oh, Bell Safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the helmets. This led to the development of Bell helmets in 1954,
nice.
Which became a top choice for racers of the era. In 1955, Roy purchased Krager Corporation, which originally sold cylinder heads and aircraft engines. He was instrumental in the wheel segment, leading to the creation of the Krager SS.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some classic wheels. You know what? Those wheels are pretty class. Fellow hot rod entrepreneur Ed Escudarian had gone from grinding camshafts to offering a wide range of speed parts too. While many of his friends and competitors focused on selling products to the guys driving at a professional level, Ed wanted to make it easy for the street runners too. He was among the first to offer different kits for building engines, particularly Chevy V8s, making it simple to order all the necessary parts to hop up a ride all at once. In 1963, Dean, Vic Edelbrock Jr., Roy Richter, and Ed Escudarian, along with a handful of other industry leaders, formed the Speed Equipment Manufacturing Association, known today as SEMA.
Whoa. Okay.
Escudarian served as its first president, with Dean taking the reins for 1964.
Very cool. While Dean remained focused on manufacturing speed parts, he also tackled complete car builds with his staff. One of the first to appear from the new Moon shop was Moonbeam, a Devon-bodied dragster equipped with a stroked and bored 354 cubic inch Chevrolet. The engine was fit with forged pistons, Grant rings, a GMC blower. It had a Potvin manifold and Hillborn injectors, resulting in an output of 600 horsepower.
Jeez.
Built on a frame of seamless tubing and supported by Monroe shocks, the car itself was a true mishmash of parts. Its components included wheel spindles from a 48 Ford. It's got a 48 Lincoln Bendix brakes up front and 1960 Merc Bendix binders in the back. Binders.
Dude, those are those Merc Bendix binders? Some of the best binders.
A Schieffer flywheel and clutch assembly sent power to the Hallibrand quick change rear end. Very cool.
This is like the most insane build. It has something from
everybody.
Everyone.
The 2,000-pound Moonbeam was built to be a record breaker, and break records it did. It posted top times at Pomona, Henderson, Nevada, San Gabriel, and landed at the top of the timetables for the Modified Sports and 1320 records of the American Hot Rod Association. At the quarter mile, it hit 134.75 miles per hour, and at the half mile, took it to 157.8 miles per hour. And at the salt flats, the car hit a high of 185. It wasn't all go and no show, though, as the moon yellow...
Stop rapping, dude.
As the moon yellow racer took home several trophies for just sitting pretty. One of the most significant vehicles to be put together in the garages of Moon Equipment Company came at the hands of one Carroll Shelby. The race car driver and car builder utilized the space to build his prototype Shelby Cobra, pairing a small block Ford V8, the aluminum AC Ace. It'd only be a matter of time for the Cobra and Shelby to become household names. Next came the Moon Eyes Dragster, fit with a 300 cubic inch Chevy built by Roy Gamble. The car saw a number of drivers, including Kerry Gagel, who won Middle Eliminator at the 1963 Winter Nationals. Another driver of the car, Dante Deuce.
God, these names are
awesome. That's the sickest name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Called up Sidney Allard and challenged him to a race. Allard had created the low-volume Allard Car Company in 1945 and was known to use Moon speed equipment on his own cars by the 1960s. The call resulted in the Moon Eyes Dragster being shipped to the UK in the fall of 1963 for a little showdown. While no proper race took place, Dante Deuce gave the fans what they wanted in an exhibition, running the fastest quarter mile outside the U.S. at 9.48 seconds, hitting 166 miles per hour.
Damn. 1963. That's crazy.
The event launched a British love affair with drag racing, and the event also marked Dean Moon's entry into international hot rodding. Throughout all this, Dean continued to expand his product line to include finned valve covers and lightweight timing covers, among others. His efforts began to attract a crowd he'd long been running from, the police. Knowing their standard police cars lacked the speed to keep up with crooks and hopped-up rides, several departments contacted Dean Moon's shop to improve their fleet's performance and reliability. While never opposed to making a sale, Dean remained focused on building the fastest cars in the world.
It's like when the FBI contracts hackers.
Uh-huh.
Like, come hack for the FBI.
White hat hackers, yes.
White hat hackers, that's what it's called?
Mm-hmm. That's when you do work for, that's when you do, like, legit security work.
You find holes in security.
Yeah, you're a white hat, and then black hat hackers.
Oh, that's a weird name for it.
I mean, black hat has been around for a while, I think, as a trope.
International racing of all forms was climbing in popularity in the 60s, providing a significant opportunity for equipment manufacturers to prove their worth. When Dean Moon was contracted by Nissan engineers to work on a Grand Prix race car, Moon was, dare we say, over the moon about the opportunity to show off his products in front of a global audience. The Nissan / Prince R381.
Because his name is Moon.
Yes!
Okay. I'm sorry, go on. I just got that.
The Nissan / Prince R381 had been originally designed for a V12 power plant, but as the clock wound down to race day, the team faced a time crunch and had to pivot. They called on Dean Moon to save the day. What resulted was a custom-built 450 horsepower Chevy V8 that powered the R381 at the Japan Grand Prix for sports cars in 1968. It was the first and only time Nissan used an outsourced engine, and it paid off. The car beat out the likes of Toyota and Porsche for first place, earning Moon Eyes significant praise in Japan. The win would play a pivotal role in Moon's later legacy, domestically and abroad.
Well, hold on. This is crazy, because like we've talked about this car before.
And it never got brought up that Dean Moon did it, right?
I don't remember that at all. So imagine it's like a Japanese Ford GT, almost a little smaller, a little uglier too, but
wow.
Come on, dude. Look at it. but it's cool, man. Like, we've mentioned this in so many videos, this car, and I had no idea that Dean worked on it. And that's really, really cool. I mean, this is the car that would go on to kind of like inspire the GTR, because Prince and Nissan would further they wanted to like get more into racing, and that's why they developed the not Ken Murray, but Hakosuka. Yeah, so wow, Dean had a role in that. Dude.
That's sick. It's like he's like the Forrest Gump of car stuff.
Yeah, he's very Forrest Gump like.
Okay. And then Shelby was like, man, I need an garage to build my Cobra in.
Okay. All right, Carol. That's a girl's name.
Carol's a girl's name. So is Shelby.
Then one day, a man with a girl's name asked to build a race car in my
shop.
You
mean to tell me? That's the craziest thing I ever heard. You are a new Carol Shelby.
That's the old lady that Forrest Gump talks to on the bench.
There was an old fat guy, too. Remember?
Yeah.
He was the one who was like, you don't know Bubble Gump Shrimp Company, you stupid idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
I gotta watch that every movie.
I remember you watched it like for the first time like a year ago, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good movie, but I think Pulp Fiction deserved the Oscar that year.
The early 1970s saw Dean providing equipment for Don Garlett's World Championship Top Fuel Dragster, and Gary Gabelich's land speed record setting Blue Flame.
The Blue Flame, huh?
On October 23rd, 1970, at the Bonneville Salt Flats, Gabelich drove the rocket-powered car to a speed of 622.407 miles per hour in the flying mile.
That's insane, dude. Imagine that.
Riding on continued successes in drag racing and speed trials, Dean turned his attention to expanding the brand. A chance encounter between Dean and a young Disney employee visiting the U.S. from Japan named Shige Suganuma would provide both with an opportunity in the early 1980s. Shige, working with Dean and college classmate Chiko Kodama, began to import American speed parts to Japan. Shige continued working at his day job at Disney until taking a leap of faith, going full-time with his speed company. It wasn't long before Moon Ice and American hot rodding in general blew up in popularity in the island country.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you work at Disneyland.
Yeah. There's also a Disney thread to
crazy.
All that, too.
Yeah.
By the mid-1980s, Dean oversaw production and distribution of a full line of speed parts being manufactured in the same Santa Fe Springs shop since the 1950s.
I'm probably the only one who thinks this, but I kind of wish he made Springs.
Yeah.
And just called it Santa Fe Springs.
Nice.
that's a very Disney thing.
There, yeah.
All the while, Dean continued to expand his footprint in pop culture. He participated in commercials and collaborations with numerous brands, ranging from Budweiser to Japanese soda companies. He also appeared in several movies, such as Eat My Dust and Stroker Ace.
Those old classics.
He was riding.
You guys have never seen Stroker Ace?
No.
No.
You gotta look it up.
The title character, a popular NASCAR driver, clashes with the fried chicken mogul that sponsors his racing team.
Yep.
That actually sounds pretty good. He was riding the wave of success, and the only thing that could slow him down was death. After bringing hot rodding to the world, Dean Moon passed away on June 4th, 1987, at the age of 60.
That's young. Dang. That's too young.
Yeah. Parts production temporarily halted upon his death before his wife, Shirley, stepped into the operation and got things moving again. Unfortunately, she passed away just 2 years later. The business again faced an uncertain future. Having been friends with the Moon family for more than a decade, Shige Suganuma and Chiko Kodama were able to purchase the business in the early 1990s. They rebranded as Moon Eyes and worked tirelessly to bring it back to life both in the USA and internationally. The pair retained the original shop in Santa Fe Springs, and in 1991, they opened Moon Eyes Area 1 in Yokohama, Japan, a Moon Eyes cafe and retail shop that promotes and supports the hot rodding and Southern California lifestyle. Both true hot rodders, Chiko continues to chase land speed records at the Bonneville Salt Flats, driving vehicles equipped with Moon Eyes equipment. Dude, that's sick.
Yeah.
I'd always wondered about, like, because I know in recent years specifically, like, there's a lot of, like, Moon Eyes and, like, I don't know, like Japanese branding and stuff. I was like, what is the deal with that?
Yeah.
And now I know because a guy worked at Disney. Started importing parts.
Did they say that it was at Disneyland?
So it's just Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, Disney. Right? Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he worked with an animator stateside.
Right.
So I wonder if it was like Disney's Japan
maybe
branch. Because I mean, Disney Japan didn't exist at that time.
I didn't think
not,
so. No, not I don't think it did.
World.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Joe. I'm an idiot.
I didn't say
no,
that.
No, I'm not saying that you said that. I'm saying that because I
you're not
don't,
an idiot.
Don't respect myself.
That's your dad talking, Nolan. Come on.
He doesn't call me. He only called me idiot one time, and that was because I forgot my cleats when we were going to a travel 7-on-7 game.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah.
Like that. Kind of like.
He got
pretty
mad.
Look at your shoes.
We're going out to like Fresno or something. Yeah.
And then he immediately was like,
to borrow some cleats from another player. And this player was also like kind of, I think.
Left more, him in a ditch.
No, more well off. We had so his cleats were like really nice. And I was like, damn, I should get some of these. And then I looked them up and they're like $200. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Anyway. Were they Copas?
No, they were Nikes, but they had like this weird like support thing under the heel. So it wasn't like your foot went into the shoe. There's like another like frame thing inside the shoe.
Whoa.
And I was like, I've never worn shoes like this.
You super fast?
I was the fastest JV center there ever was, Joe. I actually did have a pretty quick 40 time, I think.
Really? You remember what it was?
No. Probably slow. If it was fast, I would have remembered it.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know, Jeremiah ran a 4.4.
I believe that.
That's crazy.
Got a long stride. He's got a six pack, so he can do anything. What did I say here?
Dean Moon. Back to Dean Moon.
Today, you can still visit the original Moon Eye Equipment Company shop in Santa Fe Springs, which still manufactures, sells, and ships parts worldwide. Chances are they make moon discs that will fit your car's wheel and make it look a lot cooler. And yes, you can even get it for your little Model 3 if you want. From the oil fields of California to the drag strips of Great Britain, the streets of Tokyo to the dry lake beds of Australia, Dean Moon spread American hot rodding traditions all over the world. The next time you spot a foot-shaped gas pedal, go ahead and step on it in his honor.
It's an honor for you to step on it. That's it's right. Not looked at as an insult. You should step on it.
Dang, that's a cool story, man.
Yeah.
I got to get a Moon Eyes jacket now. I want to do.
I have a Moon Eyes collaboration with Loser Machine.
Oh, that's sick.
Flannel shirt. I should have worn it today. What was I thinking?
What are you thinking, dude?
Dang.
That's sick. Very cool story.
But it's cool to know that like it's owned by someone who loved the brand before, mm-hmm. bought it because he loved it and wanted to keep it going.
Yeah, that's like when you hear like a restaurant was bought by like a loyal patron or like someone who worked there and you're like, they're keeping it going. Mm-hmm. There's that, I forget what restaurant it is in New Orleans, but it's like that block long restaurant, you know what mm-hmm. I'm talking about? And the guy who owns it was just like someone who was just like a really huge
fan. That makes
fan
the beignets?
I think so. Yeah. They make a lot of
by Jackson Square.
I've never been there, so I don't know.
Dude, you gotta go.
You gotta go.
How many times I gotta tell you? You gotta go.
We go on digressions a lot on this show. we got some listener mail this week.
Yeah, this is a really long letter, so I'm gonna pick one paragraph out of random to read out of this. Okay. This is from With Love from TG Andine.
All right.
Greetings, celebrated scholars from the great automotive empire of Donut Media. Well, my name is Tate G. Andine, and I send you this note bearing gifts. Mm. Inside this box, I put two bags of gummy worms to be placed in your rodent snack rankings. These gummy worms were bought in store at the world-famous Blaine's Farm and Fleet. That is a Wisconsin staple. Although these gummy worms are nothing special, they have become special to me and my father through our long nights wrenching tirelessly on our shit boxes.
Hell yeah. Okay.
That's great. Whether it was bleeding the air out of my father's 66 Impala ragtop hydraulic system, finding the reason why his 20-foot Corvette has a strange ticking noise coming from the engine, or installing a whole new suspension on my 22 GR86, these gummy worms have saved us time and time again from ripping our throats.
Hell yeah.
Give them a try. I hope you like them.
Oh, will do.
And then there's four more paragraphs. But thank you, Tate G.
Thank you, Tate. Let's try these things out.
Yeah.
Or we will try them out. Actually, just throw me the bag. F*** it.
Yeah, f*** it. Ah! Paul! Are you all right, Paul?
All right. Busting the... We're bringing it back.
Yeah. If you are not from the Midwest, you probably have never been to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. But it is, as they say, there's farming equipment. And I've been in a couple, but I remember... I got a story about Farm and Fleet. My friend Gifford.
Are you talking about Quality Farm and Fleet or
Blaine's Farm and Fleet? My friend Gifford got caught stealing spurs from there.
Uh oh. You know, there's only one thing you can do to someone stealing spurs around East Parks.
Slap them?
Yeah, I guess.
Dude, these are good as hell. These are real good. Oh my God.
I can smell them.
Have you tried these?
No.
These might be the best gummy worms I've ever had.
These are very good gummy worms.
Holy shit. Thank you, Tate. Anyways, thank you for listening. The story of Moon Eyes was amazing, eye-opening. Join us every week. Mm-hmm. Talk about automotive history. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of really cool stuff coming up, so stay tuned.
Now, let me take a look at this schedule. We're talking Fox Body coming up.
Yeah.
We're talking Nigel Mansell. We got Max Arido
in
a few weeks. Camaro, Jackie Ickx, Caterpillar. Let's f-ing go. Dude. Oh, you know what? I think that should be episode 300, Caterpillar, but there's another one. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
Anyway, we got some really cool stuff in the pipeline here at PassGas. And of course, we always love the fact that you listen. And we are very appreciative of that. Thank you so much for sticking with us and just listening every week. We really, really appreciate it. We have a lot of fun here. Having Bart on the show has been a real pleasure.
Yeah, man.
The last couple of weeks. And
I've been enjoying it,
we're going to keep that going.
Cool.
So thank you again for listening. Thanks to Audrey and Edgar behind the scenes here. Thanks to our writer this week, Brian Corey. Again, our source for this episode was Moon Equipped by David Featherston. Go check that out. If you want more Moon Eyes facts for your little brain. And, or your big brain, I don't know. Bigger than mine.
Idiot.
Follow Bart at BidsBardo. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes if you'd like on Instagram and Blue Sky. And that about covers it. We'll see you next time.